This is Peter Bell on ABC Radio Perth.
Keep an eye out for Guy Sebastian over the next couple of months. The Australian singer and former music teacher is in town to film a new three-part documentary. It's called Don't Stop the Music and follows a primary school in Armidale and their journey to introduce a new music program into the curriculum using instruments donated by people in Perth. Music educator Dr. Anita Collins has already been on site at the school mentoring two music teachers and helping them to develop activities to inspire the kids in the classroom. Welcome, Guy. Welcome, Anita. Thanks for coming in, guys.
Thank you.
We'll start with you, Anita, first of all. I was surprised to learn this. 63% of primary schools in Australia offer no classroom music. Now, personally, that wasn't my story. We had the Let's Sing, and at least a couple of times a week, the whole class would get up there and belt out some tunes. So this is no longer the case, it seems.
It's different in every school, and it's, I think, one of the main issues is it's really varied across Australia, and that's the prime problem, is not every child is getting access to really, really good music education in their school every day.
What does music give to children from a cognitive perspective?
The list is huge, absolutely enormous. And basically it helps them, first of all, to learn language. So they're using their music processing network to actually understand how language works. So at the very beginning of life, it is absolutely vital to have music as part of as every baby's and toddler's development. And then when it comes into primary school, when they're learning how to read, they're using exactly the same set of networks to understand how to read and understand a symbol system. So music is a symbol system, so is reading. And then from then on, it actually helps teach what's called executive function. And that's really learning how to be a grown-up, how to be independent, how to make good decisions, how to think about how you're going to respond to something, to deal with yourself when you're angry, to deal with someone else when they're angry. And then the other really, really important one in the research is social skills. So learning how to interact as a team, learning when you're in charge and when you're not, and how to adjust to all those things.
And that's all incredibly important, Guy, but perhaps also missing out there, music is fun as well. Was my recollection like yours at primary school, where you're encouraged to get up and sing and learn musical instruments and those sorts of things?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, maybe primary school, not so much, because I went to a public school in sort of the outer suburbs in Melbourne. But then when we moved to Adelaide, I was in a great school where they had a great music program, and it was a private school, and I think that's part of the problem as well. You know, private schools are pretty well catered for, you know, the sort of the cream on top sort of subjects like the arts, whereas one of the great battles they're facing in areas like Armidale with some of the public schools is, you know, they have to maintain a certain level of literacy and numeracy, and so the arts, you know, including music, sort of get pushed to the side as far as priority goes.
You're a really busy guy and your career's going so well. Why are you so keen to attach yourself to this project that we're going to learn about in just a moment, Don't Stop the Music? Because I'm sure there's a lot of demands on your time.
Well, I was a singing teacher. Like I was just saying to Anita before, I had, about 45, 50 students growing up. And so I would see firsthand how much music affects kids, not only obviously on a musical level, but just, you know, we've just gone through Chalice and I've hung out with a bunch of kids. I've seen kids who don't necessarily have a lot of confidence, especially on a social level. You know, they're a bit on the outer in social settings, but then you put them in a choir or you stick an instrument in their hand and suddenly they become a different kid. And so I don't think, you know, as Anita was saying, we can just look at music lessons as just something that serves their musical ability and trying to increase that, but it teaches them so much more.
Guy, did you have those moments where there might have been some, to start with, unwilling participants, a little bit sceptical, a little bit nervous about the situation as far as the kids are concerned about getting involved, and then seeing that transition as they perhaps embraced it and really got swept up in the feeling?
Well, yeah, I mean, there's a lot of kids who don't, they don't know the feeling of unity a lot of the times. They are on the outer, and suddenly, you know, you stick them in an orchestra or put them in a choir and there's this unity of them all singing together and doing something together and being actually included. So, you know, they gain so much confidence. You know, I met an amazing young kid who struggles a lot with seizures and I met his mum yesterday as well. And after our encounter, I hung out with him for quite a bit. We wrote a song together and she just said she's never seen him like that. She's never seen him beaming and full of confidence. And since he's joined the choir, his confidence has gone through the roof. But, you know, I also met a young girl who has a beautiful voice and has has a talent which legitimately I feel is a talent that should be nurtured, because I think she could be our next Adele if it's managed well, you know. And yet she's gone through some incredible hardships with you know, sick mothers and her own health issues as well. So it's I think it's extremely important. But you know what I've gained out of this experience is, it's not that easy. We need the help of people, you know. They do need to maintain their literacy and their numeracy, of course. But these programs in such a great country of ours shouldn't be swept to the side.
Our guest this morning, Guy Sebastian, mentor for Don't Stop the Music. It's a three-part documentary looking at introducing musical programs into schools that previously, for a variety of different reasons, didn't have the resources to do so. And also Dr. Anita Collins, music teacher and academic, joins us. Anita, those schools and the resources, of course, it's very important also that the teachers are getting adequate training. And this is a big obstacle for us. Again, I'm surprised to learn that a lot of trainee teachers aren't taught anything at all to do with teaching music, whether it be singing or instruments.
Mm. It's a very, very complex problem. One is that there's a current belief that any teacher is a generalist teacher. They can teach everything. So they get a small amount of time in university to learn how to teach music. However, this works on the idea that they've had musical training themselves. So I'm a teacher educator. I regularly have students walk into my room and say, "You're not going to make me sing, are you?" And I said, "Yeah, we're singing in 5 minutes." And they are terrified. So they come in not only not knowing anything, they're actually at a deficit because they're frightened of doing the experience. Those teachers don't get enough time in university to teach confidently. They go out into their profession not being confident to teach, and there's not a lot of support because of the focus on literacy and numeracy to then say, well, I'm going to go and do some professional learning in music education.
And what about in schools and communities, I guess, where access to and understanding of classical music, for example, isn't something that is come across very often? Getting students and then, by extension, their families involved in that sort of training, that must be wonderfully rewarding as well.
It is. I mean, classical music is just one genre of music. And to me, there's no good and bad music. Music is made up of exactly the same ingredients when it comes to a piece that Guy will sing versus a piece that Beethoven wrote. It's all made up of the same ingredients. And whatever genre you use in a school has to suit that school, as long as you're actually teaching all the parts that make up music. And then a student from Chalice can do a song with Guy, but then can go to a concert maybe in a concert hall and can still understand the music and what's happening in it because they've learnt about the foundations of music.
And that moment, Guy, you mentioned the talent, of course, and that's a valuable byproduct of what it is that you're doing, but not the primary focus. That moment where the kids get it and they really give of themselves, that must be really special for you to see.
Yeah, absolutely. It's not junior X Factor. We're not going through the schools trying to find someone to sign. You know, it's about also just presenting them with opportunities that wouldn't have been there otherwise. You know, they had an orchestra go into the school, and you know, there's kids that were there that are looking at these instruments that they've never seen before, they've never heard before. You know, they started a brass program only 4 weeks ago and they're already together playing songs. And you know, when kids are looking at an orchestra, and that's the beauty of what Anita was saying. Music speaks to people in different ways. You know, someone will look at an oboe and go, wow, that sound is just so haunting and so beautiful, and I want to learn that. And, you know, someone else will look at the guitar player and just want to be a rock star. And, you know, different instruments say different things to different kids. And if they didn't see that at their school, that wouldn't have even been an option to them.
Mm. And Anita, just getting back to the other benefits to music other than the enjoyment and the participation, is it correct to say that an appreciation of music, an introduction to music, will help these kids learn in so many different other areas as well?
Yeah, there's an enormous amount of research. It talks about kids are involved or are musically trained. They're a year ahead in their literacy scores. They're up to 2 years ahead in their numeracy scores. They've got much, much higher levels of resilience, which we know is so incredibly important. They can work better in teams. It's all the things that we're searching for in education. But it's a difficult thing to say why music does that. And I think that's my passion, is to say music does it because of the way music is taught. And when it's a full school activity where every child is involved, then it becomes just something that we do. And it raises every student up in the school, not just those that need extension or might show what we identify as talent.
And another aspect that I really admire about this project is the fact that the musical instrument themselves, in many cases, are donated by the community as well, with the help of Music Aviva here. Australia who have helped source instruments for the many programs that have been rolled out with Don't Stop the Music around Australia. Guy, Anita, it's wonderful work that you're doing. Thank you so much for sparing some time this morning and coming in to tell us all about it. Really appreciate it.
Okay. Pleasure.
Thank you.
Of course, Guy Sebastian there, Don't Stop the Music, along with Dr. Anita Collins, music teacher and academic. It's all taking part in a new ABC documentary series, Don't Stop the Music, which is currently being filmed in and around Perth.